So many growing companies have a board of directors, and that's a very different relationship than you have with your employees. So the question we always get asked is, I thought having a board would help me grow my business, but now I spend a lot of time just managing my board. What do I do?
Well, now, the board issue is really, really interesting. Let me talk first about what the purpose of the board is. The purpose of the board is to determine what the desired end results are. Some people call it creating the vision for the company. It's the where they're going. I like to talk about it in terms of desired end result. It's what you want at the end of the day. Most companies want to be viable going business concerns. They want to be profitable. The board's role is to lay out the umbrella under which the company operates. Okay, so the philosophy, if you will, the bigger picture, the higher view of what it's all about. And the board should be helping the CEO by making things very clearly defined in terms of what the company is all about.
Should the board challenge the CEO?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes. Definitely, because the CEO needs all of the input he can possibly get to be the best CEO possible. And that's why you bring a board on, is because you have other minds, other people's perspective looking at it and bringing in comments and questions to help the CEO perform better, to help the company perform better.
So that's a very different relationship than the business owner has with their employees. The business owner can't be the queen of the board.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be the queen of the board, because with that you have a powerless board, and when they're powerless, they're going to get themselves into trouble, they're going to make your life difficult. So what you have to do as a CEO, if you have an ineffective board, as a CEO, what you want to be doing is you want to be managing up the tube. You want to be laying out for the board what the role of the board needs to be, which is also to challenge you. You lay that concept out to them, and they're going to look at you like you have two heads, because they're saying, what? You want us to challenge you? You don't want us to just be yes man and check it off and, oh, okay, aren't you great CEO? No, you want them to be challenging. That's why they're getting paid the bucks to be around that table, to bring their knowledge, their expertise, to help make the company as good as possible. Then you as CEO, guess what? You're going to have an easier time running your company, because you have that added input from these people that you then can take that input and you can decide how that filters down through the company.
So I've heard it both ways. I've worked with business owners who have a very hands-off type of board, and ones where the business owner feels controlled by the board. Mm-hmm. So what when you meet a board that's pretty hands-off, what do you think?
What I think is, why are you wasting all your time and resources on this board? I mean, most boards are paid positions. And even if they're not paid positions, they're still gobbling up resources, because they have meetings that are paid for by the company, and the CEO has to be at those meetings, so that's time away from the company. And if nothing is coming out of it, what's the point? Fire the board and get an effective board. Now, I'm not saying the board should be hands-in doing dabbling maneuvering within the company. I'm saying the board should know its place, which is to influence the CEO so that the CEO can then enact what needs to be enacted more effectively.
And what about the situation where the business owner feels challenged by the board all the time and feels like they spend an inordinate amount of time managing that relationship with the board?
Well, then again, the CEO is in a powerful position. A lot of CEOs don't see it that way. The CEO needs to be going back to the board. If the board is dabbling too much in things, the CEO needs to go back and say, thank you very much. I'm sure your intentions are good. However, the way it's playing out is not good. So what I need from the board is the board to act like a board, to operate at the level of a board, so that I, as CEO, can take my responsibility to fulfill the desired end result that the board sets.
So what you're really boiling it down to is you need to be able to lay out an agreement, a book of agreements, I guess, with your board about how it's going to operate, what advice you want, how the meetings are going to work, and what happens when things go sideways.
Absolutely. And most CEOs don't know that that's really their responsibility. Occasionally you'll get a board that has somebody who knows how a board should run. And so they'll take responsibility and they will set things up so that it's clear what their parameters are that they work within, and it's clear what their involvement is with the CEO. Most boards don't really have that. So the CEO, if that doesn't exist, the CEO needs to step up to the table and lay out some things and give it to the board to say, okay, here's why we're doing this, here's what it's about, and here's how it's going to help us. And most boards are going to say, oh, that's great, thank you very much.
Sounds like that would be a challenging role to sit on the board if you're really good friends with the CEO or the business owner. Is that a good place to put your friends on your board?
Well, it depends. If you're putting your friends there so that you can have a, oh, yuck, aren't we great people? Oh, this is a social activity. Then no, it's not a good idea. If you're putting your friends there because they are real friends, they are people who will say, hey, Rob, hey, whoa, you need to take a look at this. That's a real friend. A friend is not somebody who watches me put my hand into the fire and doesn't warn me that there's a fire there and that am I aware of it and I'm going to get burned if I continue to do that.
So you really want to put people on the board that you can have effective conversations where both people feel comfortable speaking what's true and challenging each other.
Well, I think you can create that situation. I think that not everybody is going to be able to have those conversations. But if you as the CEO really have the perspective of what's this all about, what's the desired end result, if you have that in mind, then you can help people to rise to that level of communication. You can set it out so that is a normal process that happens. So when somebody has something to challenge the CEO on, it's not seen as a strange event. Most organizations, it's, oh, the politics, oh, you can't do that, you can't say that, why not? Well, because they haven't set it up that this is a normal thing. So setting up at the beginning and saying, we will have disagreements. Disagreements are helpful because it brings in more perspectives so that we know that we're making a good choice for the company.
So let's summarize then. If you are having trouble managing your board, you really need to go back and lay out a book of agreements about how you'll operate and how everybody takes responsibility for the role. And it's expected to have a challenging relationship with the board because that is their role.
I agree with what you said. You got to be careful with how you go about that. Because if you walk in and you pronounce that this is what the board's going to do, you're going to run into trouble. If you're going in and saying, hey guys, what's our purpose here? What's our desired end result? Let's get clear on that. Bring that out from them and make your contribution as well. Then once you've created that desired end result, then you say, okay, here are some things that we need to put in place so that we do in fact realize that desired end result. Let's have a book of agreements about how we're going to disagree, how we're going to agree, and what happens if everybody agrees right away. Are we going to just move forward? Are we going to give permission or require somebody to say, well, just a second, I'm going to take the other perspective on that. We got to make sure that we're just not into groupthink here. Okay, you set all of that up, so make it as a norm.
So setting up that collaborative conversation, taking the time to do the buy-in, working through the issues as a board first to lay out your book of agreements is how you're going to set yourself up for success. And if you're having trouble managing your board, it's probably because you haven't laid that foundational work and brought everybody into the process to make sure they all agree this is how we're going to work as a board.
That's a pretty good summary.
Thanks, Rob.